Dodgers closing in on their sixth consecutive National League Western Division Championship. The 3-1, it's now 3-2.
Buy with Rob is your best choice when purchasing your new home in the Puget Sound area. Call 360-710-9425 today and get started on the best home buying experience you will ever have. Go to buywithrob.com today.
Of course it helps that there are women on that committee, but you know what? I expect the men in this country and the men in this committee, and many of them, believe me, because we all signed on to this letter to demand an FBI investigation. But really, guess who's perpetuating all of these kinds of actions? It's the men in this country. And I just want to say to the men in this country, just shut up and step up. Do the right thing for a change. Okay, you can see I'm a little upset by this, you know, the unfairness of it, but you have a second question?
Hello?
Podcasts are verbal narcissism for ugly journalists.
Hello, can I talk to Mr. David? Dave Allman?
Approach and identify.
Hello?
I'm serious. If you ever go near my mother again, I will do something really bad.
Then you should probably just go ahead and get into a fight.
Don't worry. Wait, what?
Because if you don't kill me and I get loose, you're going to wish you were in hell with your back broke.
I don't have a response to that.
They never do.
Man, battle station vessel.
Chief of Watch, sound the general alarm.
From the Buy With Rob studio, located in beautiful Silverdale, Washington, this is the Dave Bowman Show. Now, here is your submarine qualified, well-coffeed, stuffy, elitist history buff host, Dave Bowman.
Well, good morning, good evening, or good afternoon, wherever you are, whatever you do. A lot of things happening in the world today. Most of them are far beyond our control, you might say. So perhaps it's time we took a pause and thought about life and thought about the laws of gravity, hearings, life in general, ill, sick kids, birthdays, politics, and or the news. Don't touch that dial. Just try to hear me out for a while. Well, as I said, it's been a crazy day. I do apologize for this morning, but I'm here now. Not live, I get it, but we'll get the best we can to get through wrapping up the week on a Friday episode of the Dave Bowman Show. Here's how you get a hold of me. The text machine and voicemail machine is 209-565-DAVE. It's 565-3283. The email remains dave at thedavebowmanshow.com, as it always will. And, of course, we're on the web at thedavebowmanshow.com and on Facebook and Twitter. But we're going to talk about that in just a moment. Look for the Dave Bowman Show on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and of course, use your preferred non-denominational web search browser to take you to thedavebowmanshow.com. So I was all set this morning. I had everything set up and ready to go. Alex hit me the news and everything was good. And then at 9:15, the phone starts ringing. And our business needs this. Most of you know I work in a support role in a real estate business, and there were some issues that had to be handled right now. I know you're getting ready to do your show. I know that, but is there any way possible? Because if we don't do this, we might lose the deal. So we went and did that. And then when I got home around noonish, I was all set to sit down at about 1 o'clock and start doing things. And then the school called, and Ben was having some issues. And it just seemed like it was one thing after the other. And, of course, I'm still recovering from yesterday. You have no idea. So yesterday, of course, Thursday, was my birthday, my 55th birthday. And I don't tell you that because I'm celebrating or anything. I tell you that because it's a fact. It was my 55th birthday. And my wife hit on the idea that we would go to Tacoma and celebrate. Well, prior to that, on Wednesday or Monday or somewhere there, I'm not really clear on it because I didn't actually know this person. But someone who's very dear to my wife's side of the family passed away. And so this turned into it was close enough person that they had responsibilities. So it turned into, we're going to go do that. And then when we're done with that, the day's kind of shot. So we might as well go to the fair and we'll take all the kids and all the grandkids. And so we ended up taking literally three of the four daughters that we have and all of the grandchildren to the fair. And I got to tell you, it's hard. I try to walk a half hour a day. I go to the gym. I walk because I really believe that walking is a wise thing to do. It's something that, you know, really is good for me. It's something that I need to be doing on a regular basis. And so I actually do it, but this is different. So the first mistake I made was I thought, well, I'm going to be doing a lot of walking. So I'm going to use the walking shoes that I bought for the trip to Yosemite. And they're not completely broken in yet is the problem. So that created some issues. And of course you're walking on concrete, not ground. And I know you don't really think about how much of a difference there is, but there really is a huge difference between the two. Concrete, asphalt, it's hard. It's not like walking on grass or, you know, dirt paths or even wooden paths. I mean, it's just really hard. And by the time we'd been there for about 3 hours, I was hurting. I mean, in pain type hurting, like give me 4 ibuprofen now. I even took about 20 minutes and sat in one of the, things I like about the fair is they have these, sales booths. So you can go in and, you know, taste test stuff and see, well, they had these massage chairs, these Japanese massage chairs. And I actually sat in that chair for like 25 minutes with her giving me the sales pitch. And it was a very good sales pitch, and it was a fantastic chair. I got to be honest with you. Enough that I negotiated a deal that I could get the chair for what I considered to be a pretty reasonable price and a pretty reasonable deal. I got it for zero down and 0% interest. And the payment was actually less than I pay for my DirecTV, which I'm actually thinking about getting rid of anyway, because it's, you know, literally I'm the only one that watches it. Everybody else watches Netflix or online stuff, YouTube, whatever. I'm literally the only one that watches it. And the only thing that I watch on a regular basis is baseball. And I have the MLB app. I don't really need it, except that the Mariners are blacked out because I'm in their area. So that is literally the only thing I watch is Channel 687, Root Sports Northwest, and I watch the Mariner game, although right now I'm not because it sucks so bad. But you get the idea here. I'm finding commercial television to be less and less worthwhile, and so I'm looking at what I pay for commercial television, I'm looking at what my payment would be for this chair, and I'm like, dude, I can do that. And so after about 30 minutes in this chair, 25, 30 minutes in this chair, I got to move on because they need to talk to other potential customers. And I'm telling her, I'm going to go talk to my wife. We'll be back. And you need to be prepared to give her the experience of sitting in this chair. I'm telling you, folks, this chair, wow, it did things to my body that stretching me and bending me and poking at me and pushing on me. And it all sounds really dirty, but it was just fantastic. And I felt amazing getting up after that. Went and found the wife. And of course she, I told her what I wanted to do and expecting fully her response to be, are you out of your mind? And her response was, well, if that's what you want to do, it is your birthday, go ahead. And I was stunned by that. I really was. I was like, holy crap, did my wife just give me permission to buy a $4,500 massage chair? Yes, she did, Dave. Yes, she did. And instead of going right back like I should have done and said, okay, we got it, we're going to do this, I decided to think about it for a bit. And after a while, I realized that, you know, one of the things that we've been doing since we bought the house is we've been slowly but surely, you know, eliminating debt. We've paid off a car. We paid off Cammie's surgery loan. Many of you may remember this back in 2010, Cammie had to have a brain tumor removed. And literally 6 months after we got married, and Ben was like, you know, I guess it was a year and a half after we got married. Ben was 6 months old. And She had to have a brain tumor removed. So I guess it was 2011. Missed the show for, you know, several days and traveling to San Francisco. Anyway, we had to borrow close to $15,000 just for our portion of that surgery. And so we finally got that paid off, and we're still, you know, we're getting credit cards paid down, and we're getting our, you know, our financial act together. And I thought to myself, because I started thinking about it, you know, is a $4,500 massage chair really in keeping with the spirit of what we're trying to do? And of course, one of the sales points is, well, how much do you pay for a massage? If you go for a regular massage, which I highly recommend, they're wonderful, you know, 10, if you do one massage a month, that's your payment on this chair, and you can sit in this chair every day for as long as you want. And it's a good sales pitch, don't get me wrong. And I started realizing the last time I went for a massage was, trying to remember when the last time I went. Cammy and I got a free couples massage from part of the radio gig. There was a place in Oakdale that opened up, and so they wanted us to talk about it. And part of the deal was, you know, we'd shill for them, but they gave us a couples massage. And I think that's the last time I went for a massage. And I don't remember being particularly impressed with it. I mean, it was okay as massage goes, but it wasn't what I really like, which is I like the massage when they really pound and beat into you, because I'm a big guy and I got a lot of sore muscles, and I do remember the last time we were at the mall in Stockton on her birthday, December 6, 2014. We had gone to the movies and dinner, and we were walking through the mall in Stockton. And you know how they have those little Chinese places? Well, I had a sore in my shoulder, my left shoulder blade. And so I said to her, she actually suggested it. She said, well, you want to try that and see if... So we went in there and sat down, and I just got the little 15-minute one, you know, in the chair. And the gal that was doing it, you could tell that after about 2 minutes, she found that spot and she just blasted that spot. She worked that spot. And when I got up after 15 minutes, man, it was gone. It was wonderful. I think it cost me $10, $12. That's the last time. I did give her a pretty good tip, though. I think that's the last time I paid for a massage. And, you know, it's not like I go to the mall every day now. So anyway, I didn't get the chair. So what did I get for my birthday? Well, for my daughter number two and her family gave me a really cool picture of the Bremerton Naval Yard, Puget Sound Naval Shipyard. It's a 1930s photo, so it has some really cool older ships. And I got some scones, I guess. It's pretty much it. It was kind of a bummer of a birthday. I had a lot of pain that I'm still experiencing, you know, the day afterwards. 24 hours later, I'm still barely able to walk right now. So, and then part of what I had to do today for the business was I had to go out with my partner, and we had to go out and look at a piece of land that somebody is interested in purchasing. And we like to know what we're talking about before we sit down with them. And this piece of land was out in what we call BFE. I'm not going to explain what that means, but it was a pretty good hike over some uneven, difficult ground to get to. And well, that's what I said to him on the way back, is I'm not going to the gym today because I don't need to anymore. So that was the day. And then of course, Ben's little issue, and I don't want to get too detailed into Ben because he's very embarrassed about it. It's a medical problem, but it causes him to do something that's very embarrassing to him, and it would be very embarrassing to anybody. And so he doesn't like that. And so we've known for several months, well, probably since February of last year that it was going to eventually happen at school. And we've sat down with his teacher and talked to her about it. And of course today it happened. And so the only good part was that I had just gotten home. And so we were able to go deal with that. And now he's relaxing on a Friday night, watching videos and not television. He's watching videos on YouTube, and he picked up a couple of books today. So I'm sure he's reading those, and he's having fun. And so that's kind of the way the day went. And I hate missing shows. I really do. I don't even know how to describe how much I hate missing shows. But sometimes there are things that are very important, and usually they're in advance. So, you know, Yom Kippur I knew about, my birthday I knew about, but this I didn't know. I had actually said on Tuesday that I was thinking about just taking the day off, and then I got to talking to other people and Alex and everything, and I was going to do it. And then, boom, it didn't happen. So I apologize, although I am here now. So it's not like you're not getting your free show just a little bit late. So there you go. There's a lot of things that are percolating in my mind. And one of the problems that I was having this morning was I didn't want to be just another voice complaining about the whole Senate hearing thing. I certainly have my opinions about this. I'm certain that you can probably guess what my opinions are. I'm a process guy, and I don't feel like process is being followed at all. I think with the Dianne Feinstein is the real issue here, and I think that what she did was despicable. But in having said that, I'm also on the petard of having said that Kavanaugh's would not have been my pick. I have real issues with some of the things that he has ruled on and believes, and is losing Kavanaugh off the Supreme Court that big of a deal? I don't think it is. But the way this is happening is problematic, and it reminded me of some other things that are happening. For example, I am in the process of, I don't want to say leaving Facebook, leaving social media. I'm not leaving it, but it is not going to be my focal point in the future. It's just not going to be. There's some reasons for that. I have some real issues with the way Facebook handles things. I don't think they handle things, number one, in a fair manner. That's my biggest complaint with it. I get it. It's a private industry. I get it. They can do whatever they want. Well, I don't have to put up with that. And the argument that comes back is, well, what else are you going to do, Dave? Okay, well, I found something else to do. I found another way to communicate what I have to say without Facebook deciding whether or not you get to see it or not. If you want to see what I have to say, I've come up with a way that Facebook doesn't get to decide that. Is it Facebook? No, it's not. Does it mean that you're going to have to, you know, click on something else? Sure, it does. Now, the Facebook will still be there. The Facebook page for the show will still be there, but it will be essentially a mirror of what we're doing. Like Facebook always was. It was, you know, a feed to a website, but without the dependence on the website. I'm not going to be, you know, absolutely saying, well, my God, I need to pay Facebook another $50 to get 3,500 people to see this in Bangladesh. I'm not going to do that. So there's going to be this shift, and I'm trying to say this politely, I guess. I'm not trying to be mean, but you're going to have to, if you want to follow me, if you really care about Dave, you're going to have to get outside of social media. I mean, that's just all there is to it. The Dave Bowman Show will be the show's website. That will be it. The Facebook page is just it will no longer be the focal point. It's just an appendage. If you happen to be on Facebook and see it there, great. But if you really want to know what's going on with me on the show, you go to the DaveBowmanShow.com. There's a follow button on that. You can follow it. It'll send you an email every time there's something posted, every time there's something new, it'll tell you. And so you won't have to depend on Facebook to go, our algorithm says that you may or may not want to see this. So we've decided you're not going to see this. Even though you've selected see first, even though you've wanted to see this, we have the ultimate say in what happens here, and we may decide that you don't need to. That won't happen. You will control that. Now, as a part of this, I have my personal Facebook page as well. Some of you are friends with me on Facebook, and some of you are followers on Facebook, and some of you just don't care, and that's fine too. That's great. That's my personal page. And I will tell you that my personal page on Facebook has some severe limitations as to who actually gets to say it. Just because you're my friend doesn't necessarily mean that you get to see everything that I post. It just doesn't. I'm sorry. There are people that I just don't even want to deal with anymore. And those people don't get to see what's on my page. I guess if they went to the page, they could see it, but it doesn't give it, it prevents it from giving them a notification that it's happening. Most of those people are buried deep in my past, and they're just not people that I want to associate with anymore. They're just not people that I want to, that I care about. They're the people who post, how do I say this? Really stupid stuff on a fairly regular basis. And I don't mean stupid stuff like we're going to talk about later. I mean stupid stuff like, you know, stuff that I find trivial and I just don't care that much. And so they're gone. And rather than unfriend them, rather than be inhospitable, I choose to just, you know, ignore them, which you can do on Facebook. For those of you that want to know more about me personally, I can't even imagine who you are or why you would. I know that many of you are my friends. You've become friends through the years, and that's great. If you care about the things that care about hearing about the things that I actually care about beyond the show, then you're going to want to go to thedavebowmanshow.com. There's a tab there that says Dave's Other Projects. And you can click on that tab, and it will take you to the other pages that'll be involved with what's going on. So I have my theology page where I post and talk about things that I care about in theology. There is a baseball page where I post and talk about the things that I care about in baseball. My favorite page, and probably the one that most people are familiar with, is the Dave Loves History page, which is a page that I invented for the sole reason of trying. I see so much stuff that I want to read, but I don't have time to. That I needed a way to bookmark those. And one of the things on Facebook, you know, if you're scrolling down on Facebook and you pass something and then you scroll back, you go, oh, wait, I wanted to see that. And you scroll back up and it's gone. That's annoying as all get out. But so this is a way of me storing things that I want to see from around the net, from around my email, from people that send stuff to me, so that I can, at my leisure, read them later, and we can have conversations about them. And I have, of all my pages, that's probably the one that I have the most followers on. It's the one people are most interested in. It's the one where people are like, well, that's, you know, there's some, that's what I care about, history. So that's there. Trying to think. Oh, the boat page is on there for the Michigan. If you really care about the things that I do, if you're really that into Dave, and I cannot imagine who that would be, that's where you can find that stuff. So literally, you go to thedavebowmanshow.com, you can follow the show, keep up with the show, and then go to those other pages if you have any interest at all in what's happening, any interest in the things that might, I don't know, somehow or another tickle your fancy. And they might. I don't know. I mean, some of you, listener Randy and I are having a rather detailed conversation right now about the ARA San Juan, which is interesting. This is stuff that's, you know, got us both intrigued. It's got us both interested in it. But it's not something that we would, you know, spend an hour on the show talking about, because most people would go, I don't understand any of it, and B, just don't care that much. And I can understand that. I certainly understand that. So I'm kind of trying to move things into places where people that actually want to talk about them did. And of course, this all is based on the idea that I want to get off of Facebook. It's not that I don't like Facebook. I think for what it's been and what it does, Facebook is an amazing thing. Facebook is something that literally, it was game changing. It really was. The heck am I trying to say? The reunion this summer doesn't happen without Facebook. It just couldn't have. And we're still finding people. It's a great way to keep touch with my parents. My mother has actually learned to start liking things. It's a way to find lost friends and relatives, people that I never thought I'd talk to again. And unfortunately, it's also a way to find people that I didn't want to ever talk to again, But, you know, be that as it may, that happens, and that's part of the whole thing. So the idea here is to get away from Facebook, stop letting Facebook control what I decide I want to share and what people who want to see and hear from me get to see. So it's really simple. Go to the DaveBowmanShow.com, click on the follow button. You'll get an email every time that page produces something. Now, if you want emails from the other pages, you're going to have to follow those. So if you care about my theological musings, then you want to click a follow on that one. If you care about history, click on follow on that one. And so forth and so on. And you'll get the idea. And that way you're in control of that, not Facebook. You get to decide what you want to hear from me. And if you don't want to hear from me at all, then great. I mean, I certainly wouldn't force anything on you. That's not my way. And there you have it. So I didn't mean to get onto this rant about Facebook. I really didn't. But that's it's systematic. It's kind of indicative of some of the things that I want to talk about today, which is that I don't like Facebook. Okay. You get it? I don't like the way Facebook does things. I recognize them for what they do. I see the positives in them, but I don't want to be stuck in their well again, right? So what should I do about that? Should I come up with another way of doing things that fits how I want to do it? Or should I just scream and yell at Facebook about how terrible they are and how they hate me and I hate them? Or should we just have a conversation? We've forgotten how to have a conversation in this country. We've become so enmeshed in the idea that hatred as well as love renders its votaries credulous that we can't have a conversation about anything. And I think that's when I watch what's happening with Kavanaugh, when I watch what's happening with this hearing, I'm past the point where we're even talking about the judge or the accuser or the validity of this. I think what Feinstein did was despicable. But beyond that, I'm past all that. I'm to the point now where why is it that I'm not allowed to think a certain way? And if I do think a certain way, then, well, you're evil. And if you don't think the way I think, then you're the moron. How did we get to that point? And how do we get past it? That's where I'm at with all this. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. Stay with us. It's the Dave Bowman Show right here on the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network.
This is the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network.
Show today. I know, it was a crazy day. The other problem with talking, particularly on a show that is primarily listened to after the fact as a podcast, is that regardless of what I say right now about the whole Kavanaugh scenario, in 20 minutes it's going to change. Something new will be released, something will change, and by Monday it'll be a moot point. Or we'll be on to something else. And, you know, as the Godfather said the other day, Thursday, I finally got to listen to his show as I was driving to Tacoma. There's going to be other accusers. There's going to be this. There's going to be that. But believe me, there's backup plans for what happens if. And, this whole thing just smacks of manipulation. It really does. But I'm not naive enough to believe that it wouldn't happen the other way, too. I'm just not that naive. And I've gotten to the point where why can't we have a rational conversation about this? Why is it that if I question the accuser, right? If I roll my eyes and say that's absurd, I'm a white guy that needs to shut up. I'm a man that needs to shut up. Why is that the case? Are we seriously saying that there's no reasonable questions that could be asked here? Is that the point that we're at? Are we reasonably at the point of the conversation where there are half the people in this country who believe without anything, with their votaries have become so credulous that they hate something so much that it doesn't matter what is said about him or her, they're going to believe it. They're going to go, well, that's the way it is. I'm worried about us. I really am as a country. I'm worried about the fact that you try to have a conversation about stuff, right? Yeah, okay. Here's a meme that one of my friends posts on Facebook. Here's what we do if the Democrats win in November. They've promised that they're going to impeach Trump. Okay. So if they impeach Trump, then Pence becomes president. Pence names Trump his vice president. Then he resigns and Trump becomes president, names Pence his vice president. Ta-da! Problem solved. Now, again, I don't even know where to start with the absurdities of this. I can't believe that people who are constantly talking about Constitution this, Constitution that, would even post something like that. But they do. Okay? And then I come in, and again, these are people who politically would, you'd have to say, we're on the same side. Obviously, we don't see things the same way. But when I type in something like, well, you do see the big flaw in your plan, right? Is the response, no, Dave, I don't really understand it. What do you think would happen? Why can't this happen? Instead, the response is, well, you're just a Trump hater. You're just a Democrat. You're just a rhino, which I'm not. I'm not a rhino, Republican name only. I'm not a Trump hater. I didn't vote for him. I don't like him. But I don't hate him, right? I do hate the fact that the process has been usurped by votaries who are credulous rather than who are so focused on what they hate and what they love that the facts go out the window. Logic goes out the window. We don't even think about anything anymore. We just go, well, that guy's on the other side. That girl's on the other side. I hate them. You don't even know them. You don't even know who they are. You don't know anything about them. Those of you that are, you know, Judge Kavanaugh is the greatest guy in the world. How do you know that? How do you know that? She's the worst woman on the planet. How do you know that? And then, of course, we start attacking the reports. Well, she's done this. Well, that's a lie. Steve Snopes says that that's a lie. Well, he's done this. No, see, Snopes says that's true or this is lie or whatever. And we're so focused on that that nobody's asking, nobody's thinking at all. Everybody on one side agrees with her. Everybody on the other side agrees with him. And when everybody agrees with everybody else, nobody's thinking is what Patton said. Nobody. And the problem is, it isn't that just no people are thinking. It isn't just that people are going, well, I love or I hate, so I'm stupid. I'm going to be credulous without any thought process. It isn't just that. It's the fact that if you do try to think, if you do try to ask questions, if you do consider alternatives, you're considered the problem. You are evil. You are misogynist. You are hater. You are this. You are that. You're... Why? Because I'm asking a question? I don't want to get into too much detail here, but conversation at lunch today as we were wrapping some things up at work, and the question was asked, you know, well, I'm not exactly sure where Dave is theologically speaking. And someone tried to define my theology for it, and I said, that's completely incorrect. I reject your entire thesis. My problem is I'm a guy with a lot of questions. If I had the deity, the creator, the powerful force, you know, controlling everything in the universe come down and stand in front of me, I have questions. Like Captain Kirk, I have a question. And everybody's like, well, some people, and not everybody, but some people in the conversation were very surprised by that. You would dare question the deity? You would dare question God? Well, of course I would. Job did. Job had a lot of questions, and God answered them. I think God likes questions. If there is a God, I think he likes questions. It's got to get boring just talking to, I like Ben when he asks questions. I like talking to him. I like giving him answers, even though I get frustrated sometimes. Because he says, when I tell him something that's absolutely true, and then he says, well, that's not the way that works. Okay. Job asked questions, and that's what I have. I have questions. Why can't we ask questions about things? Why is it bad to question motivations of people? Why shouldn't we be doing that anyway? Shouldn't I be asking questions of a salesperson who is a cute little Japanese girl who's trying to sell me a massage chair and telling me all the great things it could do? Shouldn't I be questioning her motivation? Should I just be saying, oh, she's going to tell me everything that's great? Shouldn't I be questioning the motivations of people who are defending things, who are advocating for things? Shouldn't I be looking at why they're doing this? I mean, again, why did Grover Cleveland not tell his vice president, Tumulty, that he was having surgery? Because he didn't want him to have power because he was afraid that he would usurp it. But we wouldn't have known that if we hadn't asked those questions. Questions are not bad. Questions, if you can't answer a question, if your answer to any question is, you're just attacking me, you are hating me, you are treating me badly, you are discriminating against me, you just need to shut up. If that's your answer to a question, my assumption is that you can't support your position. And I don't care if you're talking about politics or theology. If your answer to me on a theological question is, well, you can't question God, I don't have anything other to talk to you about because it's clear that you're not thinking either. If your answer is all men need to shut up and just step up, whatever that means, my guess is that she didn't have a whole lot of position that she could defend either. Maybe she does, but we don't know because the answer to her question, her answer to the question had nothing to do with any of that. It didn't have anything to do with solving the issue. It didn't have anything to do with that. And this is the problem that we've had with conversations in this country now. And we got into some discussion about the Kavanaugh thing today. And part of the problem that I have with the questions that he was asked, even during the hearings, where they were number one, one side didn't even ask him questions. They told him what he thought, and the other, and then gave him ridiculous hypothetical situations that they know he's not going to answer. And then they went, well, you didn't answer my question. Well, neither did Justice Ginsburg, who says this whole thing has become a circus. It's a sham. And I agree with her. She's absolutely right. When a sitting Supreme Court justice says this is absurd, senators should take note of that. The other side just tossed him softballs, big old gigantic softballs that nobody could miss. They didn't get into any actual issues. They didn't get into anything that actually matters to people. They didn't. The whole process has become so screwy. And it has permeated down into our society. We watch this on television and we think that's how you're supposed to talk. We think that's how you're supposed to have a discussion. You don't ask a question. You don't say to somebody, remember your debate team lessons? You state your position and then the other side states their position. And then you put your point forward. This is why we believe this. And then the other side says, no, this is why you're incorrect. And this is what we believe. And then you state, this is why you're incorrect. And this is what we believe. Right? And nobody throws anything at each other. Nobody says anything nasty about each other. Nobody says, you just need to shut up. Nobody says any of that. And at the end of it, the audience sits there and goes, wow, I actually learned something. And this is the way science used to be done. But now it's done by headlines. Instead of telling you what's actually in the abstract, they tell you what they want you to know. Worst case scenario. Oh, this causes cancer. And the next thing you know, you got coffee being pulled in California and being labeled as a carcinogen because nobody actually read the science. They just reacted to it and they hate those businesses. And so they want to hate. That renders them credulous. Here's science that says we want to do it, or a headline that says what we want to do, and off we go. And we never have a conversation about it. We never sit down and go, okay, what do you really think and why? And I, for me, this whole process has been unnecessarily politicized. It has been, I get it. I get that there are people out there that you don't like Donald Trump and you don't like the fact that he nominated somebody that you don't like. I get it. But your guy just, you know, a few years ago said, we won. So well, you were okay with that, but now you're not okay with this? See the problem that we have there? You survived Bush. We survived Obama. We're all going to survive Trump. This country is bigger and better than all of those people. It's bigger and better and stronger than they could ever be. And ultimately, when we talk about things, we learn things about each other. I've said this I don't know how many times. I actually get along better with people I disagree with politically than I do with people that I agree with. Because, again, I know where I stand. I'm not trying to change your mind. If you're a Democrat who thinks that Judge Kavanaugh is Satan incarnate, I'm not trying to change your mind. You're free to believe that. I think you're wrong. I don't happen to like some of his positions and rulings, and I'm deeply concerned about the implications of some of those rulings. But there are other of his rulings that I'm actually excited to see. Likewise, I think that this professor is politically motivated, and I think that this whole thing was handled by Feinstein in such a way as to create chaos, and I think that she is despicable, and probably you don't. I'm not trying to change your mind, because you're not going to. You're not going to change your mind. The ends will justify the means, and on my side, I feel the same way. The ends will justify the means, probably. And so we got a great big bitch slap fight instead of an actual discussion. And at the end of the day, where does that leave us? That's the question we got to ask ourselves. That's the question we got to focus on. Is this what's best for the country? If I'm charged with defending and upholding the Constitution of the United States, if I'm up charged with being what's doing what's best for the country, can anybody look at me and say any of this has been the best for the country? Anybody? No. You can't. You may think you can, but I'm telling you, I think you're wrong. You want to have a discussion about it? Let's have a discussion about it. But let's have a discussion about it that doesn't involve the words, you're an idiot, you're evil, you're a man, you're this, you're that. Because once you start labeling things, I mean, it's inevitable that you're going to reach Godwin's law eventually, right? So you kind of want to take the approach of how can we have this conversation in such a way? I mean, like Job, you know, God didn't tell Job when he started asking his questions that he was a bad person for asking these questions. In fact, he responded to the questions with questions of his own. He responded with grand questions that caused Job to sit back and think about those things. Oh, you're right. Maybe I haven't been seeing it in that vein. Maybe I didn't think about those things. You know, my favorite, I refer to it as my oldest friend, the constellation Orion. Did you bind the belt of Orion? Well, no, I didn't. Maybe you know things I don't know. Maybe you see things differently the way I do. Maybe I should think about that. And instead of punishing Job, instead of sending him to Sheol or making his life miserable or anything like that, what did he do? He rewarded him. He replaced all the stuff that Job had lost over some questions. Why can't we ask questions? Anybody that tells me I can't ask questions, you just don't need that negativity in their life. You just don't need those kinds of people in your life. And anybody that tells me I have to shut up because I can't ask a question because I have questions to be asked, why don't you just answer my question instead of telling me to shut up? Why don't you address my issue? Why don't you try to win me over to your position by explaining to me why you're right? instead of calling me names. That's what I see when I see this whole Kavanaugh thing. You want my prediction? I'll give you my prediction about what's going to happen. Well, see, that's the problem. Is my prediction changes with every 10 minutes, too. If you'd asked me that at 9 o'clock this morning, I would have told you he's not going to be confirmed. If you ask me that now, maybe you will. I don't know. I know it's going to leave a gaping argument hole in this country, and it's just going to fester because nobody knows how to have a conversation. Nobody knows how to say, hey, can we talk about this? Nobody knows how to do that. And until we learn how to do that, it's just going to get worse. Plausibly Live, I'm Dave Bowman. I got to get going. Take the time right now. Tell the people that matter in your life you love them very much. You'd miss them if they weren't there. So don't pass up those opportunities. You don't want to have that regret. I'll see you on Monday, hopefully, for a brand new live show right here on the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. Congratulations, by the way, to Tim Preuss for his 500th show. See you Monday, everybody. Have a great weekend.
The Dave Bowman Show is a Slippery Fish Entertainment production for the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. For more information or to complain about how the show offended you, the text or voicemail number is 209-565-DAVE. For more information about the show, log on to thedavebowmanshow.com.
Hey, I'm going to go do something productive. I'm going to go watch television.